Hello, respective viewers. I'm George from Ireland, and here I am by old Father Thames. There was a socialist politician in the late 19th century, John Burns. He said it's liquid history. Anyway, that is Blackfriars Bridge, because on the other side, until 1538, was a monastery for Blackfriars, as in a order of monks who wore black habits. Friar, as in frère, or brother in French. Monks are dressed as that. Okay, so we're seeing some of the embankment built in the 1860s by it'll come to me, Bazalgette. And you see here the fish. Look at that. Look at the detail on that. Curved around the lamppost. They don't make it like that, such handiwork. Here you see old Father Thames, complete with his beard, looking like seaweed. And even the trident on the other side. And you look, 1973. Oh, right. So it's much more modern than I thought. I thought it was a 19th century thing. And then you see the symbol of Aesculapius, the two snakes twirled around a walking stick, as in to milk the fangs for anti-venom. Okay. So over there is where the City of London is. It's in the financial district. And then you see some very handsome 19th century buildings, mostly Portland stone, as in Portland, that town in southern England. So that pale grey stone. Okay. And then see the boats going by, these leisure cruisers. London Eye, River Cruise. And on top of the kind of a commentary, not many tourists around, is very gloomed over. Got a scowling sky. Ooh, I can't believe it. That little patch of blue. So unseasonable that, but it might snow in Scotland and Northern England soon. Right, so carrying on the Thames towpath, you see some much more modern buildings here. So this area is quite badly bombed and a bit further east than the London docks. Big ships used to come in loading and unloading in the Second World War. That went into decline. By the late 1970s, almost none of them all moved to Felixstowe, further out on the eastern coast of England. The ships were too big. Got Sea Containers House around here. So some rather unimaginative, but not ugly buildings on this side here. So I'm glad they've had this pedestrian path here for decades. So not very wide, the Thames here, a bit over 200 metres wide. Obviously it gets much wider further out where the docks were, so plenty of the room for the ships to dock, disembark passengers or whatever goods, turn around, sail out. Some of them used to go to Tilbury, like the SS Empire Windrush, which came here in July 1948, carrying several hundred people from the Caribbean, almost all men. And that was the beginning of large-scale non-white immigration into the United Kingdom, which really changed the face of the UK and made it much more ethnically diverse. Very controversial at the time. The Labour cabinets were soon at panic stations, thinking this is a bad thing. They're saying, one winter we'll have them out, these won't be able to cope with the weather. Well, how wrong they were. Well, this is because there's such a substantial black British community now, you know, almost 80 years on. So passing Sea Containers House, as in containerisation, I'm not sure if you can see it, that model ship in there with these containers, and I can't give the actual statistics. I think it's too shadowy to see. These are three-dimensional shapes, or boxes really, and they're standard size and shape, and therefore you know how much you can fit in there, like pianos, bales of cotton, I don't know, bags of rice, socks, bicycles, anything, odd shapes, because previously they didn't have that to fit them all together any old how and work out how are you going to fit these things together without the heavier things crushing the lighter things? And they were going to roll around on the deck, try and tie them into place in a storm, they'd come loose. But then the containerization, and then you could fit them onto a train or indeed a truck transportation. Look at the chopper. Do we catch sight of it? There it is. So not many people allowed to helicopter. You can actually have... you can hire helicopter tours over London, but very, very pricey. You know, over £2,000 an hour. And look at this. The old-style call box. Most of the telephones taken out of them. It says Sea Containers. Because it's not worth the cost of the engineers servicing them, as almost everyone's got mobile. So tourists like to pose with these things. But, you know, they function as unofficial urinals these days. So I wouldn't recommend you open the door. Okay, and over there, that is the Temple Gardens, as in barristers that belong to Inns of Court. So there's Middle Temple, there's Inner Temple, there was Outer Temple, which is defunct centuries ago, Gray's Inn and Lincoln's Inn, and they all belong to chambers as in offices. And according to Shakespeare, is in Henry VI, part one, No, Henry the Sixth. Sorry, there is no Henry the Fourth. Is part one or part two? That's where they chose their roses, the Lancasters, the Yorkists, at the beginning of the Wars of the Roses. Apparently, there's no historical basis for believing that. So there he was writing about a century after the end of the Wars of the Roses. And that's why there's the White Rose of Yorkshire. I think they already had that, and the Red Rose of Lancashire. I don't think they identified with that during the war. And despite the name, and one faction of the English royal house being the Yorkists, or the other being Duke of Lancaster, it's not that Yorkshire was all on that side, or Lancashire was all on the other side. It was just more or less random in where they'd been given the title relating to. And that was the end of the Plantagenets when Richard III got killed. The Lancastrians won in the end. They were the ones who were had the crown to begin with. Okay, so lots of eateries and shops selling things that you really don't need here. So on from these boutiques, and it's a fairly mild day. Look at this barge out there and all these other pleasure cruisers that obviously they had to have small boats to get out to them. And there's a bit of a beach here, and the modlarks in the 19th century were poor boys, usually, occasionally girls, going and scavenging down here. Could they find anything of value, a coin or an old shoe or anything they could salvage, because there was such dire poverty. You might want to read Mayhew's book, London Labour and the Labouring Poor, or whatever it is, also about how severe poverty was. There was the Rowntree report by that Joseph Rowntree, a Quaker with a chocolate factory just outside York. I think it's still going. And who else had similar reports? This idea that they were in pauperism because of fecklessness was largely proved to be bogus. About a third of the population in absolute poverty, like meaning malnutrition, and could never afford to spend an unnecessary penny. Couldn't even afford to get the train or bus to work, had to walk everywhere. And who were labouring casually, really just had no job security and very few rights. Do you see what there it is? So people use it as a beach in the summer, but they can't swim out because they might be killed by these boats. You see the wooden jetties. And of course, this was a highway, really, until the 19th century, until the canals in the 18th century, and the 19th century railways. Before then, this was actually a faster means of transport, particularly transporting heavy goods. The roads were in such a parlous condition, hadn't been repaired since ancient Roman times. But they Bernie Spain Gardens, named after a local character long since deceased. So on the south bank of the River Thames, and Channel 4 News have got their studio somewhere coming up here. Okay, and that a bit over there is called King's Reach. It's a straight part of the river as a reach, as opposed to a curve. And this big white boat here functions as a restaurant. There's another one called the Pub on the Thames, which doesn't go and is permanently moored. These are party boats going up and down. Notoriously, there was an ill-starred ship called the Marchioness, which in the late 1980s, a party boat, which for some reason crashed and found a lot of people were killed. There's a big inquiry into that one. And then you can see these water gates, people embarking and disembarking with steps going up. Right. And then you can see this little market here, one of these outdoor food stalls. Gabriel's Wharf, a bit of street food. Mm-mm-mm. So yeah, a lot of this is reclaimed land, and the Thames used to be about twice as wide as it is currently until the embankment was built in the 1860s. And of that, Sir Joseph Bazalgette, who built the embankment and built the sewers and so on, there was an inscription about him in Latin on the memorial tomb on the north bank of the Thames, which says, "Posuit vincula ad flumen," he put chains on the river. And his great-grandson was a television producer for Channel 4. So Stephen Fry said that this Bazalgette descendant was undoing his great-grandfather's work by pumping all the shit back into London. In the metaphorical sense, that is. Okay. So here we go. We're on the Queen's Walk. And there was an idea of building a garden bridge under Boris Johnson. Was it about here? And they were going to cut down some of these trees here, some of which are a century old. And the garden bridge is going to be open to the public only so many days a year. Tens of millions of pounds were put into a feasibility study. Sadiq Khan would become mayor of London in 2012, was it? No, in 2016. He discontinued the plan. Aborted the project, saying it was a huge waste of public money and it would be hired out for private parties some days a year, blah, blah, blah. It would have taken up the beginning of it, so it would take up a little bit of this path and go over there, be a pedestrian-only bridge. and there would be plants along it, hence garden. Then you see over there Somerset House, the big Portland stone building with the green dome, as in the Duke of Somerset had his stately home there. And what else? Part of King's College London, there's often an ice rink in the courtyard in the middle. It's used for various period dramas, such as The Duchess, starring Keira Knightley, came out around 20 years ago, about Georgiana, the Duchess of Devonshire. For in the 19th century, for a while, all newspapers had to be stamped there to prove a tax had been paid on them. And there's an art gallery, so there's all sorts. So, because King's College London's got, doesn't have a central campus, has got a few campuses dotted around London. So part of the University of London, which has really got about a dozen universities, but theoretically is a single university. Okay, this is Waterloo Bridge, built in the Second World War, exclusively by women. Some people call it the Ladies' Bridge. So very expensive, very beautiful. What can I say? Closed about 5 days a month. Can be whiny, temperamental, all the rest of it. Now, you can't see from this angle, but there are lions' heads, metal lion's heads built into the embankment over there with big metal rings in the mouth to tie up your boat to. But those lion's heads are not randomly placed. The height is very careful because of a primitive flood warning system, because the old saying was, when the lions are drinking, London is sinking. When the lions are ducked, London is in trouble. And so we go on. I think it's up there, Channel 4, have a studio. So the South Bank area. And certainly Melvyn Bragg used to front that South Bank show, some culture program in the 90s. I don't know when it went off air. So looking across to the other side, well, it's very difficult to make out the everything, but there you see one of those famous hotels, the Savoy Hotel with a big clock, some spires of St. Martin in the Fields Church, by James Gibbs, a late 18th century church. What else is there? Telecom Tower, right on the on there, built in the 1960s. Used to be a revolving restaurant there in the early 60s, and so on. Okay, so that's more of the Basil Jet embankment over there. And then these hideous brown towers on the skyline, that's part of the Barbican built in the 1960s from a bomb site. Benazir Bhutto, later Prime Minister of Pakistan, used to live there in the 1980s when she was in exile from Zia-ul-Haq's military regime in her homeland. Okay, so I'm coming up to the National Theatre. Here it is. So there was the Festival of Britain in the 1951. The Labour government did it. It's the centenary of the Great Exhibition. And Churchill became Prime Minister again in October 1951, ordered to be closed down, regarding it as little more than a 3D socialist propaganda project. But so showing what different counties and cities could do and blah, blah, blah. Then there was the Millennium Exhibition in 2000, the Millennium Dome. It's now called the O2. And different counties did it. Northern Ireland did it as one unit, not six counties and so on. So also the Romans of Britain was first performed there. What did I see there? I can't remember what I saw just before I left school. So there we go. Anyway, it's a ferro-concrete monstrosity, but, you know, it's not the most hideous of that genre. What do you think? But I really must go in there more. It's got a few auditoria in there. So we're close to Waterloo Station, and there are all these very modern blocks of flats, which are not unattractive, and obviously command a splendiferous vista over the South Bank, and indeed the North Bank of the River Thames. There's been an open-air book market here, and there's a statue of Sir Laurence Olivier, a rare example of theatrical knightage in his era. He died in the 1980s. He was the only husband of Vivien Leigh, the star of Gone with the Wind, but she fell victim to mental illness and died a recluse on Eaton Square, London, born in India. Okay, so that's the statue of Sir Laurence Olivier there, son of an Anglican priest. He very much disapproved of his son's theatrical ambitions and refused to give him a penny towards it, saying he ought to take up a respectable profession, because there was, I suppose, a whiff of iniquity about theatre in those days. Ah, so they are selling books here. I was reading how reading is really falling out of fashion these days, but there are a few bibliomanes like myself perusing the tomes. But anyway, there used to be far more bookstalls. There's very little money in selling books. I'm told if you publish a book as an author, you'd be lucky to make £1 per copy sold, even if you're selling them for 25 quid. So don't look at it, do it for your bread and butter. Okay, Queen Elizabeth Hall and the Purcell Room is in Henry Purcell, the 17th century composer. Sound the Trumpet, he wrote. I don't remember what else, so, you know, England, indeed the whole British Isles, not renowned for classical music. Who were the others? Edward Elgar? The guy who wrote Crown Imperial. It'll come to me. Okay. So there we go. That's the Savoy Hotel, as in the site of the Savoy Embassy in the early 14th century. Subsequently, Savoy Palace was the stately home of John of Gaunt, who was in the uncle of Richard II. And Richard II ascended the throne at the age of 10, and because of the tenderness of his youth, then his uncle ruled on his behalf. He's famously sacked during the Peasants' Revolt in June 1381, and one of the peasants tried to take some of the valuables himself and was slain by his confederates. For some reason, they thought looting was unacceptable, you just had to trash the stuff. And look, here is not a half pipe, is it? Whatever. A skate park. Okay. See these skateboarders? God, even I used to try and do that, but that is a few years ago. Not that I did it here, and obviously a tolerance zone for graffiti. So what does each graffito mean? Oh, some of them are even English. Okay. Alright, so this is Festival Pier, as in the Festival of Britain was around here, which I was limbing earlier. And then you can take the boat using a debit card. It's just like taking the bus, the river bus, they call it, yeah? And there we go. Festival Pier. See what I'm talking about? Okay. And this bridge here is the Hungerford Bridge. It's a road bridge. And there's a pedestrian bridge on either side that they built as part of a Millennium Project in 2000. One of the few successful Millennium Projects. The other one is maybe the London Eye, which is the second biggest Ferris wheel in the world. The biggest one, some of the United States. So a lot of restaurants in there and more performance spaces. What else are I going to say? The Angel of the North near Durham beside the motorway was another Millennium Project, which actually panned out. And that Millennium Dome, or O2 as it is now, because they're owned by the, was it sponsored by the telephone company, was due to be dismantled after 20 years, but it's still there and no sign of taking it down. Okay, and then you can see over there, Embankment Pier. That is the embankment. There's a tube station called Embankment. Those are Embankment Gardens. That's all reclaimed land from 1868. Great place to see the fireworks in New Year. I've done that there. Okay, and maybe just about coming to enough of the south bank of the River Thames. I should do another walk like this further east, and indeed on the north bank of the Thamesis. Okay, so the Romans named it. I don't know what the ancient Britons call it, because those ancient Britannic tribes, they had no written language. So what happened beforehand? We only know from archaeology and obviously second-hand sources what the Romans made of it all, which is necessarily partial. Okay, so Wagamama's, in case you don't know, that's a Japanese restaurant with this revolving thing, the sort of conveyor belt system where you take the dishes that you want. Anyway, and you can get up to Waterloo Station up there. So the major station in South London. Get all over Southwest England from there. I think Clapham Junction's even busier, the busiest railway station in Europe, I think, with 19 platforms and trains arriving and departing every 10 seconds or something. Not on each platform, that is. Okay, and then bits of the Thames, which are a little bit better known. There's the Ministry of Defence. Oh, there's that boat, the pub on the Thames. Pub is in short for public house, as in retailing alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages, simple meals. And look at this building here, which is partly hotel, partly luxury flats. And Shuvalov, one of the deputy prime ministers of Russia, he had a property there. I don't know if he still does. He's notorious for hiring private jets to fly his dogs around when they're going to dog shows. I applied for a job to be his son's tutor, but didn't get it. More's the pity. Their loss. All right. And then they have various gardens, merry-go-rounds and such like. So, yeah, these blocks of flats are fairly new. And they used to be Shell houses in the headquarters of Anglo-Dutch Oil, or Shell, over here. But I didn't think Shell's based there any longer. Anyway, you see what I mean about these merry-go-rounds? Oh, the joy. What merriment is to be had. Yeah, gaiety on these things bobbing up and down. I'm told in the 1950s that was thought of, you know, the height of sophisticated fun and technical wonderment. Okay, and there are gardens here. Well, you're not to play football, but I know a little boy who used to play football here many years ago. Right, and you can get your fish and frites over there. Good, good, good. And there's a Royal Air Force Memorial, maybe make out a golden eagle on the other side. So it's part of the Silver Jubilee Walk. You see these things similar with Silver Crown as in 1977, Elizabeth II's Silver Jubilee as in 25 years on the throne. You think there was nothing to celebrate because of the United Kingdom's declension in relative and absolute power. But I suppose there was economic advance. Look at that. All right, so that's about it. And I'll show you some more familiar sights, some of the iconic attractions of Londinium. You see the Queen Elizabeth Tower with Big Ben, the clock, the Sovereign Tower, the House of Parliament, also known as the Palace of Westminster. No members of the royal house have lived there for centuries. Nevertheless, it's a royal palace. So what you're looking at was built after the 1834 fire, only finished over 30 years later by Augustus Pugin and Sir Charles Barry. Okay, bit of the new Scotland Yard, as in the headquarters of the police of the metropolis. So the London police are called the Metropolitan Police, or Police of the Metropolis, if you're being very official. Oh yeah, and obviously here you see the London Eye. Again, those pods, about a dozen people can stand in there, you can sit as well, and there's no barrier. You can see the glass goes almost right down to the floor, so quite hair-raising if you're not very comfortable with heights like me. And no, there's no lavatory on board, so make sure you go before you step on, because you've got 40 minutes and there is no escape. All right, so thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate a PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. So get out all the credit cards you can, max them out and take out a crisis loan and give the rest to me. And if you do that, I will repay you in a millennium. Okay, and here's the old London County Council building, built from the First World War to about 1922, but now it's a hotel. All right, thanks everybody, goodbye.